Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. It is with regret that I announce the death of Dov Wachowski, a former Pardes student who died this past week. I join the entire Pardes community in mourning his loss. He will be missed. This podcast is dedicated to his memory. This week, Rabbi David Levenkreuz discusses Parsha Vayechi. Rabbi Levenkreuz is a faculty member of Pardes. And now, Rabbi David Levenkreuz.
And a Merry Christmas to you all. This greeting sounds jarring on a Jewish podcast. It sounds strange in a way that Happy Diwali or Happy Eid just doesn't. While these may sound obscure or a bit funny, here, to many Jews, the words Merry Christmas sound downright offensive. The history of Jewish-Christian relations colors our visceral reactions. For the past 2,000 years, Judaism and Christianity have been engaged in what I once heard called a lover's quarrel. More often, it's been a war. Christianity, at least in its classic formulation, claims to have supplanted Judaism. It claims that only through belief in Jesus can one achieve salvation. This principle, called replacement theology, states that Christianity is the true synagogue, and Christianity the only true religion. Jews are, in Toynbee's famous statement, the fossilized remains of an ancient Syriac civilization. It's either or. For Christianity to be right, Judaism has to be wrong. Christianity certainly has biblical grounds for this approach. From the beginning of the Torah, we see choices between two brothers. Abel's sacrifice is accepted and Cain's is not. Isaac inherits the mantle from his father and Ishmael is banished. Jacob becomes the leader of the Jewish people and not Esau. Somehow, in God's world, there is room for only one of each pair. Judaism, from the beginning, has seemed to proclaim that there is only room for one brother and one truth. Or is there? A fascinating story is told in the Babylonian Talmud, in the Tractate Psachim, page 56a. The Talmud, quoting our Parsha, Parshat Vayechi, tells us that Jacob called for his sons. When they came, he said, "Come together, and I will tell you what will happen in the course of times." What Jacob was about to tell his sons, says the Midrash, was the time of redemption. But God's presence suddenly left him. According to the Talmud, God's presence left Jacob because we are not supposed to know when we will be redeemed. If we knew, we would stop trying to perfect and repair the world, our sacred task as human beings. But Jacob did not know this. He thought that God's presence had left him because one of his sons was unfit for this knowledge. Jacob asks, "Could it be, God forbid, that I have an unfit son, as happened to Abraham my father, who produced Ishmael, or Isaac my father, who produced Esau?" Jacob's sons assure them of their goodness. They say the Shema addressed to their father, whose name is also Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And a new idea comes into the world. God's oneness is not expressed by there only being one truth, but rather by different people, different tribes, all attesting to God's oneness in their own ways. God's unity becomes not either or, but a joining together of many truths. This point is strengthened when we consider that when Jacob blesses Ephraim and Manasseh, he says, "In a time to come, Israel will use you as a blessing. They will say, 'May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.'" Why is it, have we ever thought about it, that in traditional homes on Friday nights, girls are blessed to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, while boys are blessed to be like Ephraim and Manasseh? Where's the symmetry? Girls are told to be like the matriarchs, and boys are told to be like the comparatively unimportant sons of Yosef. What did Ephraim and Manasseh do to merit that all Jewish boys would be blessed to be like them? Or, perhaps, the question is what didn't they do? Ephraim and Manasseh are the first pair of brothers in our Torah who don't fight with each other, who accept the blessings that the other received, even when it doesn't seem fair. And perhaps that was their greatness. How very different our world would be if Cain and Abel, and Yitzhak and Ishmael, and Jacob and Esau had been like Ephraim and Manasseh. How very different the relationship between Christianity and Judaism would be if we were like Ephraim and Manasseh. Such a relationship may not be so far off. Liberal Christians are beginning to accept and even revel in the Jewish roots of Judaism. They are realizing how patronizing replacement theology is, and they are committed to repenting for Christian anti-Semitism, both institutionalized and individual. Many Jews are returning the favor. While Judaism has no problem with Christianity per se, as a religion for non-Jews, too often Jews see Judaism as the best religion and others as pale imitations. Some of us are learning to appreciate what is great in all faiths and to set aside our triumphalism. Still, the vast majority of Christians maintain a traditional belief system in which salvation can only be found through faith in Jesus. And many Jews, probably more than would like to admit it, believe that Judaism is the greatest of all religions. It's very easy for liberal Christians and their like-minded Jewish friends to get along. But how are others to become more like Ephraim and Manasseh? Perhaps the answer lies in the teachings of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Talmudist, philosopher, and leader of modern Orthodoxy. Rabbi Soloveitchik believed that Jews and Christians could never really communicate about faith and theology. Just as a husband cannot explain why he loves his wife, and a wife cannot explain why she loves her husband, so one's relationship with one's faith is too personal to be truly explained or shared. In fact, if we were able to do it, we'd be giving up part of our truth. We would have to change our truth. We would have to not be completely honest in order for the other person to understand, or in some cases in order not to insult the other. But different people with different loves will often share the same concerns. Jews and Christians, regardless of ideology, should care about issues like racism, sexism, pollution, poverty, education, morality, and war and peace, as expressions of our religious commitments. Working on these issues together, through a mutual commitment to Tikkun Olam, to social action and social justice, is what Rabbi Soloveitchik said we could do. Jews and Christians can learn to know, understand, and respect each other, and this we are able to do regardless of the very real differences between us. And if we are able to do this without giving up our faith, without giving up the belief that there are things that are important and unique and special, which we do not want to compromise, without doing any of this, we will be able to understand and respect each other and to share in the blessing of Ephraim and Manasseh. My remarks this week are in memory of Robert Wikowski, a Pardes alumnus who died in a diving accident last week. These remarks originally appeared in 1999 on a website called socialaction.com. Shabbat Shalom. A peaceful and a safe Shabbat and week to us all.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.